session this March 22nd, 2025 at 7 a.m. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Prus.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth is excused this morning. Ms. Therrien? Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Ms. Tidwell? Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstead?
Here.
Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
I don't believe that the mayor counts towards a quorum.
So we can continue without quorum.
Well, there's no action taken during a work session, and it's been publicly noticed, so I think you can proceed with discussion.
We will do that. Just want to get it on the record. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Mm-hmm.
First item up is Resolution 5165, a resolution awarding a contract to Exclusive Paving for the 4th and State Storm Drain Extension Project in the amount of $339,913. This is not introduced yet. Bob, you want to come up? We're going to have a lot of you today, aren't we?
Hopefully not too much. Morning.
Enough is never enough?
Yeah.
You want to bring us to this, please, sir?
Right. The this first item here, the contract for the 4th and State Storm Drain, that was a project that we designed in coordination with Public Works. We had a drainage problem and pavement failure over there, so we advertised that project, and it came in very close to the engineer's estimate. It's $4,000 over the budgeted amount. It's in the capital budget, so we're recommending award, and it's about if there's any questions on it.
Okay, we have Crystal checking in with her iPhone. Good morning, Crystal. How are you doing?
Good morning. I just have to get my son to school, and then I'll be there in person with you guys.
No problem. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Marnie.
Well, I drove by there yesterday, and I took some pictures. I could see there's a big manhole there on Clary and Ford, but I couldn't see any drainage over there on the State Avenue or State Street. I didn't see anything there.
We'll be adding drainage.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. There's really no catch basin, so we're adding a trunk sewer with laterals to the catch basins and then repaving the road.
Yeah, because a bunch of snow up, mm-hmm. You know. Okay.
It was part of a project we had last year, and we advertised it as a base bid with an alternate. This is essentially the alternate that we did in the award. So we re-advertised it as just a standalone project.
Mr. Ringstead.
You're going up State Street.
We're going up east, yeah. Intersection and east a ways.
East, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Any other further questions? Crystal, do you have a question for Bob in regards to Resolution 6165?
Nope, sounds great.
Okay, we're going to move on to the Lathrop Ditch Improvements. Bob.
Lathrop Ditch is, it's been a drainage problem for a while. It's a ditch that runs south from the area of 23rd and Davis and Lathrop. It runs south down to the Mitchell Expressway. There's a trapezoidal ditch on the north side of the expressway. And so this ditch drains into there. There's been problems with it through the years, and Public Works has been maintaining it. But about 2 years ago, we surveyed it and then regraded it and lowered some culverts, so now it's working properly. It's self-cleansing velocity. But it was still a project that we designed and advertised. The bids came in higher than the budgeted amount, and I would not recommend award. It's just not worth doing at this point, now that the ditch is working. And I think we could repurpose the money or keep it or whatever, but I would not recommend award at a Lathrop ditch at this time.
Questions? Mr. Ringstead.
Looking at this, correct me if I'm wrong, but the cost to maintain that thing is a fraction of the cost of redoing it.
Yes, the
economically, it doesn't make sense to go forward and do it.
Yeah, we did what you call a cost benefit analysis, where you look at the maintenance cost now that the ditch is working. Maybe every 3 years it has to be touched up at a $30,000 cost. Every 3 years, figure $10,000 a year, And the bid came in, I believe it...
$500,000.
$500,000. So you could see that $10,000 a year.
A lot of years.
You could take that $500,000 and do anything you wanted with any kind of investment, and it would spin off way more than $10,000 a year. So cost-benefit-wise, it's not worth doing, our opinion.
Makes sense to me. I think it's I'm glad you're looking at that cost-benefit side of this, these things, and making sure that we're not just throwing money on the street.
So, Bob, how do you want to tie this into Joyce Storm Drain Extension? Do you want to do that with the fast planning?
Yeah,
The next item on the agenda, if there's no one else has anything on the Lathrop Ditch Improvements, okay.
Okay, so in your packet, there's two agreements. One is for a local match, and one is for a maintenance agreement. Okay? And I'll give you a chance to find those. They're both with the Department of Transportation. Normally, when we do a road improvement project, there's a match contribution. So this agreement here is for $76,000. It's to improve 8th Avenue, Doyon, some streets in Doyon, not the whole subdivision, and also Tesoro Avenue. So DOT is going to, we designed 8th Avenue in Doyon, they did Tesoro Avenue, and those are for construction this year. So that $75,000 is allowed for the phase four, what they call it, the construction phase, to continue this summer. So that would be that match contribution agreement. And I think Margarita has a fiscal note associated with that to show we do have the money. Is that correct?
I do not have a fiscal note at this time, but I will. And you can find the amount that we have available for matches on page 199. We have $100,000 available.
Yes, Ms. Sprinkle.
This is to Margarita. Margarita, does the match come out of general fund, or is that also considered?
It will come out of capital fund.
Capital. Very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It wasn't Margarita's fiscal note. It's the matched amount that comes from DOT's project planning department for $76,000 in round numbers.
Mr. Ringstead.
That all three of those are ready to go on the street next
yes.
month or whatever.
Advertise, yes. The DOT is going to be handling the construction administration. We did the design, and they'll have a construction MOA with us to help with them during the construction. And they actually paid for the design as well to the city.
That gets it out.
Yes. Construction this year. 8th, Doyon, and Tesoro.
And it will be done by fall?
Yes. Yes. The other agreement was a maintenance agreement.
Are they bidding this out as one project or three separate bids?
One project.
One project.
And they call it
three small projects.
Yeah, one project,
Keep
three areas.
Simple. Keep it simple. Okay.
The other agreement is a maintenance agreement for those roads. There are city roads. We maintain them now. This is just something they require to show that there is an agency that will maintain the federal project. There's no new maintenance. It's just a continuation of what we normally do on those roads.
Any other questions?
Is this...
Seeing none?
Mr. Mayor?
Oh.
Just a quick question. So is this just a typical ongoing... This is kind of the working relationship between your group and their group?
Right. The service improvement projects, that particular funding source can only be allowed to do certain features of a roadway. It can only be used to, let's say, grind and pave a roadway.
But do we, every time we do one of these, do we have to do a new
yes.
agreement on this?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because of federal funds or why?
Standard.
Well, the match amount will change depending on the cost of the roads we're doing. You know, the following year we may be doing something like Shannon Drive in Shannon Park or some other streets. You know, I can't remember the list, but we have a project list, a priority list, and there's a subcommittee at Fast Planning where we go and discuss who gets what, and we work it out, and that then we fall down that list, we go down that list.
Any other questions on this? Crystal, do you have any? Well, maybe she'll just walk in the door here. Okay, we'll move on. Resolution 5166, a resolution awarding a contract to Fairbanks Integrated Services for Emergency Service Patrol Program. This has not been introduced. It's from myself. Mr. Sanders, you want to bring us through this? And good job on working on this diligently for the last 6 months.
Oh, thank you, sir. This is for ESP. ESP, we put it out again. We had bids this time. You know, previously we only had one bid, and it was way over what it was.
What was the amount of that again?
Previously it was $65 an hour for I think it was around $500,000, if I remember correctly. So we put it out again. This time we had six bidders. We changed up the what we were looking for just a little bit so that it had more of a social service flair to it. And we had more interest this time. And the lowest bidder for this one was Fairbanks Integrated Community Services. And how it works with that is we had a panel of folks that had to evaluate that bid to see if we thought that they could do the job. And we all unanimously, not only do we think that they can do the job, we think they'll do a very great job at doing it. We recommend that we award it to Fairbanks Integrated Community Services.
If this is awarded, when are you looking at having them start their services?
As soon as possible. We've been without the service for quite a while.
Mr. Ringstead.
A couple of thoughts. You said Fairbanks Community Services.
Fairbanks Integrated Community Services.
Who are they?
It's a relatively new behavioral health organization that's stood up here in town. The founder is right here. If you wanted to speak to him, otherwise.
Okay. The scope of work in this thing, has it changed? Is it different than what we did in past years?
Yeah, a little bit. We're trying to get some. We're trying to get some more follow-up with folks rather than just taking them to to the sobering center or to the hospital or to FCC when they're so intoxicated that they can't really make any life changes. We're hoping to be able to have a little bit of connection when they're sober as well to try to guide them towards a better lifestyle.
Preventative maintenance.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Mr. Marney, then Ms. Sprinkle.
So is this year round?
Yes, that's the plan.
And then just a staff of two?
Right now, they're looking at, they have a plan to expand according to the bid, but we haven't gotten, this is literally just the bid. We haven't gotten into contract yet or anything like that.
And they have their own vehicle and?
No, we provide the vehicle just like we did
for. And the gasoline?
Yeah, the vehicle, all that stuff's on us as it was with the previous ESP. It's the ESP van that we keep in the parking garage.
Ms. Sprinkles.
I'm sorry, are you done? So the 12 hours per day, is that together or is it 12 and 12?
No, it's one 12 hour. It starts off as one 8 hour block and then they're going to try to ramp up to 12 hours.
Okay, so
you
have
probably going to be from like 8P to 8A?
We haven't gotten into any of the contract stuff yet.
Okay.
And I was wondering if this could be just downtown core, but I bet not, right?
I think that'd be a mistake. I think that you have to be able to get out to the box stores as well, just because of the call volume there.
Mr. Ringstead.
The vehicle and expenses with that. Okay, this is the contract with them is for $325, which we're saying is the total amount. Where do we find the money that provides the vehicle, the maintenance and operating, and what other operating expenses we have?
It's just a piece of our fleet that we've had for years and years and years.
Somebody's going to do maintenance on it. And whose budget is that coming out of? We're still paying fuel and maintenance and repairs and whatever else. Someday we got to replace it.
It's currently budgeted and expensed under Public Works.
Okay.
And it will continue to be under Public Works.
That's where it's been all along?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Did we get input from the local businesses downtown?
We, in the process of this, I met with the Downtown Association a few times about it, yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? We're going to go on to an unnumbered ordinance, an ordinance authorizing advance the Fairbanks Senior Center to the North Star Council on Aging. Welcome back, Bob. And we have talked about this. Now, do we have to do any site ownership cleanup prior to this? Is there any easements, access, anything like that that we have to do prior to us going in this direction of transferring ownership of this property?
There's no easements, there hasn't been a title search done, but we've never had any, we've never identified any easement problems on our property there.
Okay, is there a survey on the property?
Yes.
Does the survey show an easement granting access to the Moore Street Apartments through this driveway?
No, it's a common driveway, but I'd have to look at that plat to verify that for sure.
Okay, Mr. Ringstead?
Yeah, I've got some serious concerns on this. And when I've been looking into it, we've got a piece of property that we have leases with two different legal entities. And we're saying we're going to deed this over to one of the two of them. And a significant portion of this is jointly used. So one of them, if we deed it over, one of them is going to get ownership of everything, and we have a lease with the other one. So apparently, I don't know what the status of the lease is, but it would seem to me we're putting all of our eggs into one basket. I have doing a little bit of homework, find out that one of our groups has got some financial problems, and I'd hate to see. I'd hate to see this get tied up into something and both entities wind up in trouble because of it. I would feel a lot more comfortable if we were to split that thing and say, okay, give each one of them their property and not have one piece that ties both of them in there. As I understand it, the Senior Center group also has the senior housing facility up the street over here on, I don't know, 8th or 9th, whatever that is. And they're needing money for that to fix that facility up, as opposed to putting money into the facility that's on the property we're talking about. So they're going to mortgage the piece of property that what's the name of the senior housing building is on to take care of another property over here, and our apartments senior housing over there is on that property being mortgaged. I think that's at best it's not a very clean way of doing business. And I think that it's, I don't know, quite frankly, if what great advantage for us to continue to own any of this stuff. But we're talking with two very separate, and actually three very separate pieces of property here, and I'm not very comfortable about just putting it all into one thing and saying, okay, we're going to give your property to somebody else, and you go fight it out. So,
Bob, is this under one or two legal descriptions? Because my thought would be to do this, it has to be under two separate legal descriptions. That's why I brought up the access easement.
Again, I'd really have to check the plat, Mayor. Because
Mr. Ring said, basically, I agree with everything you just said. So this is going to, but we've talked with the people who run the food service there. And this would help them, but we have to do it in a way where it doesn't hurt anyone. And that's why I brought up the access easements, because if we're not going to give one person all the property, two different items. And at the same time, the Moore Street Apartments, both myself, you, and Ms. Therrien are working with our lobbyists to get the CGBD grants funding, and working closely with the Commerce Commissioner so we can actually fund housing through that housing program that they don't allow. So it would not behoove us to put the Moore Street Apartments with anyone but us at this time. So we have a lot of work to do on this. And I'm glad you brought up those items, because they're, I think everyone shares your thoughts, to tell you the truth. Any other questions? Myself and Bob and Chief of Staff will look at this and have better reports for you in the future, but we wanted to get this out and start the process of looking at it. But it can only be done a certain way. Mr. Ringstead.
Yeah, I think, I mean, ultimately at the other end, we're going to have to take a look at that and get it a surveyed split and get to the borough and get a replat of it.
So what?
Fun, but.
Sounds like some people in your family are engineers and surveyors there, Mr. Ringstead.
Me? I have no.
Okay, any other questions on this? Seeing none, we're going to move on to item 7, an ordinance to amend Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 14, Article 10, towing vehicles. And boy, Bob. This one's put in by me, but so we'll let Mr. Sanders bring us through this one.
Yeah, so this is just simply for a rotational towing. For the most part, those fees haven't been raised in 5 years, and we're pretty far behind. So it's causing a lot of issues with trying to get rotational tows going. So we reached out to Interior, who does a lot of our tows to begin with, and tried to get with the basically one of the leaders of the. Of that industry locally to tell us what fees could be changed, and so they came up with with a list of changes that we should consider, and I don't know why the changes are not on this fee thing, but these the fees that are over that on the back page of this. That is what they recommended. It's considerably different than what we had before. Again, I wish the original was still on here so you could see what the differences were. Basically, they're wanting one call-out fee rather than three separate call-out fees. They eliminated several of the different fees, saying that they were kind of pointless. They wanted to add an amount for cleanup. That's one of the complaints that we get quite a bit, is that the tow companies aren't cleaning up. They're after a wreck, they're just leaving, other than Interior, who does a pretty decent job. So does Badger, I believe. So they're wanting to be able to bill for those services, and the rest of it's a lot fewer fees than we had before, but they've increased.
I apologize that this didn't make it into the packet, but it's overhead here if you need to see what the markup is.
Mr. Ringstead.
So I like the idea of fewer, but cover what we need to cover. How many, we've got a list of people we kind of rotate through and call, how many towing companies are we dealing with?
I think we're dealing with five right now. There is one other change that we put in here, and
yeah, can you talk about that? Was my next question in terms of the verbiage change? What is current and what is changing?
The only sentence that changed is on the second page, number 4, is an added one. Basically we're trying to get narrowed to within 10 miles of of the city. One of the problems that we have is we have somebody that's coming in from pretty far away, and then taking vehicles to their own impound lot, which is several miles outside of the 10. And then people, to get their vehicles back, people are having to go there, and that tow company is able to charge a per mile all the way to their place, and then it's not appropriate. So we need to bring them in. So that's really the only change in this whole thing is, if I remember correctly, is A4 on the second page. That's the only thing we added.
And what?
What's that?
Fenced in lot.
Oh yeah, and it already said secure lot. Yeah.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Mike, you said something about some of these tow companies don't clean up after accidents. So why would we continue to work with them?
Yeah, well, we're not paying them to clean up after the accidents. I mean, that's.
We don't. We haven't. Is that what you're saying? We haven't.
Right. That's a new fee.
Okay.
That's a new fee.
I got it. Okay. Thank you. So,
Mr. Marnie, then Mr. Ringstead.
So have we ever looked at the feasibility of bringing this in-house?
I think that would be very difficult for us to do that. We're talking, you think about all the tow trucks that we use on a regular basis. I mean, I don't know how big of a fleet we would need to be able to do it.
How much towing we do.
Well, it's a service. It's 24/7, 365, yeah. First of all.
Yeah.
And you want to get into that service.
Yeah, and the liability and everything else.
Discussion-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what we spend with these.
Up until this moment, Mr. Marnie, I've never thought of it.
Well,
good thought. It's a good thought.
What you're paying for this is $0. It's going to, this is what the...
Goes against insurance company.
Right. This is what the tow companies are allowed to charge the citizens.
And is this, this is tough to say, but is this, do we benefit out of this? Do we make any profit out of this?
No, we don't.
It's just a...
Not a financial. This is...
This is a pass-through.
We are getting the... It's not even a pass-through. This is what we are allowing the folks on the rotational tow to charge.
To the citizen.
To the citizen. Mm-hmm. And what we're getting out of this is that they're showing up when there's a wreck and clearing everything out.
Okay.
So it's not on our books in any way.
Right.
I know you got insurance. I mean, you know, there's a stuff we don't think about. So,
Mr. Ringstead.
The language tells me that then that the towing companies have been responsible for cleaning up all along. I mean, I see a lot of these accidents. We see, you know, pieces of vehicles still sitting there, and they just sit there for days. And I always kind of wondered who should have cleaned that up.
Yeah, we're asking.
Our streets, anything in the city limits, even if they're state roads or wherever we send a towing company, they're supposed to pick up the trash.
Right. That's what we're asking them to right now. But
is that new? I mean, this would suggest to me that if this is language that's been in here all along.
That we're adding a fee to it so they can actually get paid for it. And right now, if they don't do it, like, you know.
Somebody has to stop and pick it up.
Right.
Your guys?
Yeah.
Somebody must do it. your guys are out there.
Uh-oh.
Good job, John.
Yeah. Well, I had
pissed off the chief.
No, we don't clean anything up. The tow companies do. The whole reason that this whole thing transpired is because we've gotten several complaints about different tow companies picking up vehicles inside the city limits and charging astronomical fees for those tows. Now, whether they were on the city rotation list or a private tow that somebody had called, so that's how we got to looking at the fee schedule to begin with. But every single one of the tow companies charges for cleanup. Whether or not they do the cleanup is a different issue, and that is on our guys at the accident scenes to make sure that they're holding those people accountable. And if we see an accident that's not cleaned up, I will make the officers go back and recontact the tow company to make them come and clean it up, because they are charging upwards of one bill. We saw $500 for cleanup on an accident scene.
That's pretty steep. So is it your guys to call the tow trucks?
We do. So if we go to an accident scene, the way it works is we ask the involved parties, who do you want to tow your vehicle? And they'll either tell us, yeah, I want Ron's towing, I want Badger, I want Interior, whoever. If they say, I don't care, that's where this list comes into play. This fee schedule and this is just strictly for our rotational tow company. So if they say, I want Badger to come and tow, they're not technically being called off the rotational tow list. These fees are only scheduled when the Fairbanks Police Department calls and says, we need you to come and tow a vehicle. So that's when this comes into play.
Never really thought about how this works, so.
We learn every day. Ms. Sprinkle?
So is this also meant to be a way to keep tow companies from being unfair? Yeah, unfair?
Yeah, only for the rotational tow, though. This is all we're dealing with is just the rotational tow. Like Chief said, if we call somebody out to clean up an accident, like this is what they can charge. Mm-hmm.
It worries me that you think, well, you're saying that there are some tow companies seem a little aggressive and get after something they shouldn't be doing, or
most definitely there are, and we've both dealt with it on a mass scale. I mean, like $4,000 or $5,000 for a towing bill.
Oh my God.
For, you know, a car that's held for one day or 2 days.
That's insane. So, and that's legal?
There are companies that are no longer on our towing list that we have, like, since I've been the chief of staff that I've gotten kicked off there.
So yeah. If we see them in our city limits, is that, like, they're not welcome kind of stuff? Or
no, they're just, it's only for our rotational tow. I understand. It's only the ones that we're not.
Not yet.
Still, they're driving around doing some stuff like that.
They're still allowed to operate within the city.
Yep.
Oh
right
God.
Now, Mr. Marnie,
when a customer or you know somebody that gets in a wreck wishes to use their own and they come up with one of these companies out of their whatever, do we advise them that they should be cautious?
No, we can't really do that. We can't tell them who to use. So,
okay,
yeah.
Again, this is just to try to clean up the folks that we are using. So
basically, I won. Next person here. Thank you, Ms. Crystal, for joining us. Okay. Any other questions in regards to this? Chief, thank you very much. Okay.
Is there something that we should do to eliminate the kind of predatory stuff you're talking about? Is there some way, I mean, do they get a business license from the city? Can we take action against those kind of predatory towing companies? Curious?
We have removed people from the list that I thought were predatory. Simple as that. Too far out, too high fees. So whenever I get complaints on people, I review it and take them off the list if I believe it's warranted.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Ms. Bell's Finance Committee report.
Hey, good morning, Council, Mayor and Council. On Thursday, March the 20th, last Thursday, the Finance Committee met. Our first topic was to discuss the mayor's challenge to raise non-tax revenue by 10%. So we've started that discussion. They've requested information about our revenues that are over $500,000, whether or not we're breaking even, and to take a look at our schedule of fees to see if it's been keeping in line with the CPI. So I'm working on those items, and we'll discuss that at the next meeting. We briefly talked about target-based budgeting, and Mr. Sanders mentioned at the meeting, and I say this now, about a strategic plan with the council. So I'm quite sure we'll talk more about target-based budgeting as we learn and schedule things involving that new practice. The committee members reviewed the February 28th report. The fund balance was at $15.3 million. The revenues were at 9.3 million and expenditures were at 8.2 million. And our cash flow report had a balance of 36.2 million. Our next meeting is Thursday, April the 24th. We'll continue our discussion regarding the revenue as well as just briefly kind of discussing target-based budgeting and what that would look like, and review our March, our first quarter reports. And that's all I have.
Any questions for, well, since half the people in this room were part of this report, you know, I would expect questions at a minimum. Okay. Council member comments, we're gonna start with Ms. Tidwell. Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm going to pull up the paper that I saw earlier about the bowling challenge, and it seems that we've got, looks like an overall date decision. I don't know if you're saying May 10th is the one.
Wasn't this your idea?
Yeah, but this is the first I've seen.
Wasn't this started about 3 months ago?
Yeah, it's a process.
And have you've not been able to get a date with them yet?
This is it.
So basically, I would say we won by default.
No.
No?
Stop. This is you are being so funny.
Then carry on, Ms. Sprinkle.
Oh, well, I'm just excited to see these options. So what is our next step, Danny?
So the borough clerk and I decided to get the ball rolling, pun intended, on this item. And I asked her to identify several dates for her assembly that would work. Mr. Cleworth indicated that any Saturday after April 5th would work for him. But we go much further than May, and we're getting into their heavy budget season. So that's what this poll was. And it looks like the best date on this list for the assembly is May 10th. That doesn't mean that has to be our date, but now the ball's in our court.
Okay, great. Me too.
Thank you for sparing us such deep humor.
I love that. Thank you. I was going to also throw in a question regarding FEDCO. Have we had any updates on the ARDR and their paperwork and anything from maybe my representative?
I know it. I mean, it's still moving through the process. I think that there's some stuff at the state level that has to take place, and Jomo's working on it. But I don't think that there's anything new quite yet.
Okay,
but,
great. Thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I am the city rep this Thursday over at the borough, so I'm going to reach out to my fellow council people and see if there's anything besides this bowling thing or the ARDR that you want me to talk about. Since I'm loss of words sometimes. Okay.
Mr. Ringstead.
Couple of things. A question for Margarita. We had some discussion yesterday about using monies, moving money from one project to another and on capital expenditures. And as we look at some of these streets that are more practical this summer than next summer, what do we legally have to do if we put it in the budget for, you know, a project, a street, what do we legally have to do to change it and say, okay, no, we want it to be something different?
And I'm glad you asked that question because Mr. Pristash would like to request that the later ditch improvement funds be moved over for Joy Street. So in a case like that, whenever they want to move from one project to another, I usually notify the council and get your approval through a memo. And I would state that, you know, this is what was decided, and it's through that process that you authorize that we can shift it from one project to another.
Through a memo, you send us a memo. So if we voted on putting a project here, do we have to vote to approve that? And we should have that on our agenda for the meeting?
Yes, I would. It would be in your packet. If I We discussed it, but if I have the details beforehand, I would actually have it for you through a work session for discussion, and then you would see a memo on your
It'd be on the consent agenda.
Yes, correct.
And if you didn't want to, if you want to discuss it, you'd pull it.
Right.
Discuss it.
So we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and seeing as how we're trying to get work done on the street this summer, I would think that we should have it on for our meeting for next week, get it done and let them move forward. It made a lot of sense to me. Okay. My second little pet peeve. So after coming down and having a good discussion with a couple of my colleagues here, and then coming in, getting educated by Mr. Pristash here, I had the pleasure of going out to my car, and it's like, you know, every time I get one of these, it's like, do you just don't want me to be downtown anymore? You wonder why there's nobody downtown. They don't come down here for meetings. You don't come down here for fun, because we keep running them off. And there's the parking spaces, half the streets on a weekday morning are empty. And, you know, I look around and it says, in the bigger scheme of things, does it matter if I'm there 10 minutes or 3 hours? It doesn't really matter. There's all kinds of parking spaces. But you just tell people, you come down here, we're going to stick it to you. You know?
So you got caught, didn't you?
Yeah. Sitting down here doing city business, I get caught.
So are you a serial ticket achiever?
Oh, I get one a year. I get my one a year. But, you know, I look at it and think.
Are you looking at the mayor to waive your ticket fee?
No, I'm suggesting the mayor's going to waive my ticket fee, and I'm thinking, if this is all we've got for these people,
maybe
we need to reallocate the parking authority into a different kind of business. I think it's a waste of their time and our money. We're over there on 4th Street on the other side of McCafferty's.
Mr. Ringstead,
I mean,
I would suggest you have a long discussion with Mr. Cleworth.
I'm about ready to have a long discussion with a lot of people in Fairbanks.
Yes, you will.
I think it's a terrible message we send to the people of Fairbanks. Some of us want desperately to try and redo it and make downtown Fairbanks alive again. And, you know, we're just sending the wrong message here.
You know, we're trying to balance out parking time spaces for people who visit the downtown versus people who work. And the people who work would sit there in a space for all day. And, you know, it's a balance that will never be equal on either side. So, Mr. Cleworth. I got one last week, too.
It's about their attitude, you know. Yeah. And I would guess, it's not hard to figure out. You walk that street every day. You pretty much got to know who's parking there all day, every day.
I'll tell you about my parking ticket last week. Fast planning, first on 2nd Avenue, thinking it's going to be a less than a 2-hour meeting that Mr. Cleworth is chairing, and it turns 3 hours, and I get my parking ticket, and I immediately go to pay it, and they go, well, since we could waive this because your meeting was a government meeting. I said, oh no, you're not waiving this fee. I'm paying my ticket. So I just don't grant forgiveness to people like ourselves, Mr. Ringstead, because I don't give it to myself.
Here's kind of the way I look at it. You know, I mean, okay, this says I'm 25 minutes over. The truth of the matter is I was an hour over, but it's kind of irrelevant. You're gonna pay me $500 a month and expect me to spend 20% of that on my parking tickets? You wonder why people don't want these jobs? They don't want to come downtown? I mean, to me, it's just wrong attitude.
You're speaking to the jury right there, Mr. Pristash.
He's been told this is what he's supposed to do, right? Okay. You know, I mean, but it's a policy thing.
We're going to go back. After that wonderful rant, we're going to go back to Ms. Sprinkle.
Sorry, John, taking the steam out. I wanted to say that I'd gone to Firehouse 2.
Station 2 and the fire training, sorry.
Yesterday, to see a visit of what our money is buying for all the wiring and all the... I'm excited that we're going to put money back into that building because it certainly needs it. I think it'll be very, very worthwhile to us. So I did that was a little field trip, and I thank you and the chief for taking me there. I also got a phone call from someone, one of the owners of Lycan, a little store on the 4th and Cushman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she and I are going to meet. She said they're weary of the aggressive, unhomed concern. The people who kind of go into the little, I guess, the niche of her door. We're going to have a discussion because she wants to know what the city can help her do. So I just want to let you know that that entity is upset with some of the public visits that they get. And I'll let you know how that goes.
Appreciate it. Going off of Sue's thought on the fire building, the fire station that we're improving, I would like to review and thank the city council for, we take care of our buildings. The roof here, paint, windows, exterior paint on the fire station. Many buildings that are owned by government entities aren't well-maintained, but we do make it a priority to maintain and upgrade our properties. The fire station on Aurora Drive, what you've done. So I must compliment you on the right philosophy in putting property management and maintenance in place with funds to continue how the properties operate. So, okay. Mr. Ringstead, do you want to bring us into executive session?
I would make a motion.
Mayor, we're going to sorry, could I just point out that quorum is established? Go ahead.
Yes, we do have a quorum. I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session to discuss the item on the agenda dealing a lawsuit of Roberts versus the city of Fairbanks.
It is. We'll go into executive session in 5 minutes. Thank you, everyone. Good meeting. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, the council met in executive session talking about our legal discussions. No action was taken, advice was given, and that's that.
Okay. Our next regular work session is Tuesday, April 8th at 7 a.m. We're adjourned.